I'd like to welcome all of you to beautiful Parole State Park, and for those of you who are listening on the tape services, we're having a nature service here. We do this once a year, meeting in Parole State Park, starting the morning with a nature hike, and then a Bible study which lasts a couple hours during the afternoon, and now we're concluding it with a little service. The day began with one of my favorite happenings in nature, a thunderstorm, although I wasn't exactly happy to see it happen on this day. But it passed over, and then it cleared up, and now it's real nice out. But I'd like to ask you to go back with me in time, about 5 or 6 years, to a day in the middle of January, and I remember it very well. It was about 10 below zero, and the wind was blowing, so the temperature was basically about 35 below with the wind chill factor. And I remember driving down to work, and I worked in a light factory down there, and on the way down I was thinking, boy, I'm sure glad I don't have to work outside on a day like this. And we got there, and we were working there for about an hour, hour and a half, and the boss came in. He came up to me and said, Larry, you like nature, don't you? And I said, yeah. He said, boy, have I got something for you. I said, boy, this can be fun. So he said, you and John come, I got a project for you. A light had burned out in the parking lot of the freight house, which is down on the banks close to the Mississippi. And for some reason, the light had to be replaced that day. I mean, the wind chill is 35 degrees below zero. So the boss's son and I are going to have to go out and change this light. And we didn't have a ladder high enough. It was one of these great big tall things in the parking lot, so we had to go and rent a ladder. So John and I were driving down to rent this ladder. I mean, there was nothing out. It was cold. There was no dog out, no cat out. And we went down to rent this ladder, and these guys said, you got to be kidding, you know. What are you going to do with this thing? We're going to change this light out. You got to be kidding, you know. No, we're not kidding. So we rented this ladder and got down to the freight house and put this ladder up. And so John said, I'm going to climb up to the top, and then you grab the light, and you kind of shimmy up the ladder and reach it up to me. So I grabbing this light with one hand and the ladder with another and going up. And I'm looking out, and way, way up higher than I have ever seen a bird before was an eagle. And that thing was cruising up there. It was 35 below wind chill. And that thing was cruising up there. And I followed a passage in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 18 and 19, where God says, there are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. This is Solomon talking. And the first thing that he mentions is this, the way of an eagle in the air. And we're going to do a little studying this afternoon on eagles. I wonder if any of you have ever seen a group of flyers called the Blue Angels. Ever seen them? Or another group called the Thunderbirds. The Thunderbirds are with the Air Force. I believe the Blue Angels are with the Navy. And these men are the best pilots in the world. I mean, they are good. And they fly in different formations, sometimes very close. Sometimes they fly upside down, which I understand is extremely difficult to do. And they're flying airplanes that are worth millions and millions of dollars. And if you ever have a chance to see them, I would really recommend that you go see them, but don't watch eagles fly first. Because if you watch eagles fly first and then you go see the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds, you're going to be disappointed. Because as good as they are, they can't come up to the majesty of an eagle. Maybe you've seen pictures of eagles in the air where one of them's upside down and they're clawing at each other. I saw that happen once. Two eagles were up there, and they were play fighting. But it was so beautiful when they turned over and swirled down. Words can't even begin to describe how beautiful a sight that is. And nothing that the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels can do can even begin to compare with it. Flying upside down, yeah, eagles can do that. I saw an eagle dive over Lake Pepin one time. Diving toward a fish down toward the water. And they've been clocked at 175 miles an hour. These things are absolutely fantastic. And the word eagle occurs 32 times in the Bible. So God has quite a bit to say about these eagles. 28 times in the Old Testament, 4 times in the New. And the very first occurrence, which is usually important in the Bible, is in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. And it reads this way, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings unto myself." Now, we were just talking in our Bible study about deception. It's one of the signs of the last times and how dangerous it's going to be. And the only hope we have is in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit doing this stuff for us. And God, for our comfort, holds out the eagle. He says, you know, I bear you on eagle's wings when you were down in Egypt. And when the children of Israel were down there, it was rough. Pharaoh made slaves out of them, and the bondage was extremely difficult. Pharaoh didn't want to let them go. And God had talked to Moses out on Mount Sinai in the burning bush, and God said, I'm going to bring you out here, you're going to worship me. I'm going to bring you to myself, and I'm going to go down, I'm going to free you from Pharaoh's power. And you know from your scripture how difficult a thing that was. 10 plagues or strokes God sent into Egypt to free his people. And he did that because he loved his people. And even after they were out of Egypt and Pharaoh followed them with that powerful army, God destroyed that army in the Red Sea. And the message comes through loud and clear. God loves his people. He loves you. Well, eagles love their own too. And it seems like all birds do. I was talking with a man about a month ago that was jogging out in Hickson Forest. That's a kind of a nature park. It's just on the east side of La Crosse. And he was jogging out there one afternoon. It was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was kind of warm. And he had a hat on. And he was running along this trail. And he felt something hitting him on the top of the hat. And he looked up. And it was a great horned owl. You'll see a couple of them stuffed right outside this door here. If you look up and you walk through the door, look up. Great horned owl, wingspan of about 6 or 7 feet. And that thing was hitting him on the head. Scared him half to death. He jumped into a pile of brush and started hitting at the thing, and it went away. And he got up and started running in. It chased him again, chased him right out of the park. I think we know why. He probably ran real close to a nest. One of the babies that had just gotten out. And the mother was telling him, you get out of here. Don't you mess with one of my little ones. Eagles are like that too. Eagles are very family oriented. They mate for life. Now, that's what people tell us. They mate for life. And there's a book that was written by a man. I'm going to leave this up here if you want to look at some of the pictures of that. His name was Spot Nielsen. And he got a grant from the government to study eagles. But he had to agree that he had to be at least an eighth of a mile away from the eagle's nest. And he couldn't approach his blind in that tree except in the dark. So he spent 16 hours a day. He'd get up to his tree. First of all, he got up there in the middle of the night and he lugged a 50-pound telephoto lens up in the tree and fastened to the tree so he could get good pictures. And then he would get out there when it was still dark, climb up in that tree and sit there all day watching these eagles until it got dark at night, and then he'd climb back down and go home. And he did this for many, many weeks. And he got some pictures in here that are just absolutely unbelievable. And he learned some things about eagles that are really interesting. One of the things that caught my attention was Job 39, verses 27 and 28. And God says here, he says, "Does the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place." Now, this man studied bald eagles. And, of course, bald eagles aren't really bald, are they? They look like they are because they've got white heads. And the scientific name for the eagle means a sea eagle with a white head. And the first thing that the parents do when they want to start raising a family is they look for a good place to build their nest, because they don't want to build their nest in a place that's going to be dangerous for their little ones. Now, if there are no trees around, they'll build a nest on a rock. If there are trees around, usually they'll build it in a tree, but not just any old tree. The tree has to be a great big one. It has to be very, very high, because they want to be up high enough that they can look all around and survey the whole countryside and make sure that nothing is coming to endanger one of their little ones. So they'll choose a tree. The one that this man was looking at, the pair of eagles he was looking at, chose a tree that was 320 years old. This man had done some work on this tree before to date it. It was 320 years old. It was 105 feet high. Only they didn't build their nest way at the top. They built it at a height of 95 feet. And the reason why they did that was so that they could have some branches above them so that if some of the hawks or something were circling to try and get their little ones, they couldn't see them. They were camouflaged. And also, when the sun beat down and it got very hot, there were still some branches above them so that they could protect their little ones. They had a lot of privacy there. And the first thing that they did, they selected this tree, and they started to build their nest. And they took one great big branch. It was between 6 and 7 feet long. And eagles are pretty strong. They broke that thing off, and they carried it up to this tree, 95 feet above the ground, and they lodged that branch in the tree. Now, what does that tell us? There's a passage in the Bible where Jesus Christ is called the branch. And there's also a passage where the Lord is compared to a tree. I'm thinking of Psalm 1, verse 3. He, talking about Jesus, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, God compares himself to an eagle, and he says, I bore you on eagle's wings. And I believe that the volume of nature here agrees perfectly with the volume of Scripture. The more we study about eagles, the more we can see what God did for us. And the first thing we learn is this, that God chose a place for you to be raised in, a nest. He put it in a tree that's the safest place it possibly could be. And that tree is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when the eagles choose their tree, they start to build a nest. And this takes a long time. They work at it year after year. They keep building every year. They keep adding to it. Some of these nests get to be very, very heavy and very large. The nest that this man was looking at was 5 feet deep and it was 7 feet across and it weighed over 2 tons. That's a pretty safe house for a little egg. 2 little eggs were put in there. But before they laid the eggs, they did something else. For day after day after day after day, these eagles did nothing but sit on the top of that tree and watch. Have you ever tried to sneak up on an eagle? It is almost impossible to sneak up on one eagle. If there are 2 eagles, don't even think about it. Because what they do is sit at the top of the tree, and one of them will face this way, and the other one will face this way. They can cover 360 degrees, the whole bit. And they sit there and they watch. Sometimes 7 or 8 hours a day is all they're doing, sitting there and watching. What are they watching for? Anything that moves. Any sign of danger. If a human being comes walking through there, chances are they're not going to lay any eggs in that nest. They'll go somewhere else. If there's anything that they see that they feel is going to be a danger to their little ones when they start raising the family, they'll leave and go somewhere else. Now the Lord, from eternity, chose a nest for us. And he chose it in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where we're raised, in him. And there is no danger that possibly can come near us because God is always watching. Now, usually the eagles will lay 2 eggs. And once those eggs are laid, the mother stays there almost constantly. And the male goes out and gets the food and brings it in. And she'll sit there no matter what. Scott, when it was up in his tree one day, and it started snowing. And it was a blizzard. And that eagle sat there in one tree, and he sat there in another. 18 inches of snow fell. She wouldn't move. Had to keep those little ones warm. And he didn't move either. Because he couldn't. He'd scare her. So he sat up there and was covered with 18 inches of snow that day. And he got some beautiful pictures. But the eagles are very, very particular about their little ones, and it's very seldom that any eagle ever gets killed in a nest. Survival rate is almost 100%. And the times when it does happen are usually when something else happens is kind of bad. There was a man one time down in the Texas Panhandle, and he was watching a nest with a couple eagles in it, and the female eagle was really a beautiful, I mean, all eagles are beautiful, but this one was really striking. He called her Her Majesty, Her Royal Majesty. And one day he noticed that the male, the father, and she had two little chicks in the nest, the father didn't seem to be behaving right. And he finally was flying along. He got kind of weak, and he landed on the ground. And this man went and looked at him, and the eagle had lead poisoning. It evidently had eaten a duck that had been shot by a hunter and had lead poisoning, and later that day ended up dying. So he took the eagle home, and he put it out by his garage. And about an hour later, he heard something out by the garage, and he looked, and the female eagle was out there. And she was standing by the dead one. And she stood by the dead one until it got almost dark. And then she had to go back to her nest with her little ones. So she left and went back to the nest. And then the next day, he saw her hunting. And he thought he'd help her out a little bit, so he shot a rabbit and put it out there in the field where she could see it, and she came down and took the rabbit. And he was watching her as she was flying back to the nest, and a couple of hawks came and started attacking her and finally bothered her so much that she dropped the rabbit. And the hawks went down and got the rabbit. And then she went and caught a fish, and he was watching her when she went back to her nest, and she got to the nest to feed her little ones. And they were gone. Something had come and taken them away. Now, the reason this happened is because the male had died, and she had to go out and get food for the little ones herself. She had to leave them unprotected for a while. And that's when bad things can happen. But under normal conditions, there's always an eagle by that nest, and there's nothing that can get at that nest to harm those little ones. And this, I think, tells us something about God when he tells us, I bear you on eagle's wings unto myself. I'm watching over you. And it's true that Jesus died, you know that, but he rose again from the dead, and he's not dead anymore. And he says, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so the comfort that you and I have in these last days is that just as the eagles protect their little ones, so God is protecting us. And the devil's not going to be able to get at us. Christ is here. He's protecting us. And another thing that the Bible tells us about is feeding. From thence she seeketh her prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where they are, where the slain are, there she is. And eagles are noted for their eyesight. The only way you can really find this out is by getting out there with binoculars and watching them. One man was watching an eagle one time, and all of a sudden it changed its flight, and it made a beeline for a little place down by the edge of a river. A little sunfish, a dead sunfish, had washed up on the shore, and this eagle was a mile and a half away and saw that sunfish and went and nailed it. Seeing a little sunfish at a distance of a mile and a half, it's almost unbelievable the eyesight they have. And yet, you know, as good as they are, it seems like they can't see too well up close. At least it seems that way to me. Because when these two eagles were hatched in this nest, one day after they got to be old enough, Scott took a camera up there in the nest, and he took a picture of these two little eagles. I have never seen anything so ugly in my life. But the parents didn't seem to notice that. You see, you've got to picture these two eagles, and they're the father and mother, and they're looking into that nest, and you can almost hear them saying, aren't they cute? And yet they're so ugly. But they see beauty in them. They see beauty in them. And when God looks at us too, and we're born into the world, what we must look like? I mean, we're conceived and born in sin, and that's not a pretty sight. We must really look ugly in a certain sense, and yet God looks at us and sees something different. He sees beauty there, the beauty that his son has given to us. And he tells us, boy, you know, you look around right now and you're kind of like little caterpillars that are crawling around in the ground, but someday you're going to be sprouting up and you're going to go high into the sky like a butterfly does. going to get a new body, you're going to be changed, and you're going to renew your strength just like the eagles. That's what God talks about. It's the strength just like the eagles. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, there's a beautiful passage. This is going to be the last one we're going to have time to look at, but it reads in 11 and 12, it reads this way. As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Now, this talks about something that eagles do. And Scott didn't see this happen, but others have, where the little ones are learning how to fly, and the father or the mother will get under them and kind of bear them up so that if they start to fall, they're not going to fall. They're going to be right on the wings of the parent. And that's how the little ones learn how to fly. And the little ones, you know, when they start getting a little bit older and they start sprouting feathers and they start gaining a little bit of strength, they don't really want to leave the nest. And I can understand, well, it's kind of nice in there. It's nice and warm and cozy and comfortable, and the view is outstanding. You look out and you can see for miles and miles around, and the food is good. You don't have to even work for it. So the little ones don't really want to leave the nest. What the parents do then is stop bringing them food. They'll bring a dead rabbit or something, and they'll perch on a branch outside the nest, and then the little ones, they'll start squawking. Boy, they're getting hungry. They want something to eat. The parents won't bring them anything. They'll have the little ones get out and kind of flutter over to the branch and get their food there. And they do this little by little, and finally they get them a little bit further and further away from the nest all the time. And this is the process of growing up and becoming more self-reliant. And then all of a sudden one day it happens. The eagles take off. Now, some of you were up on top of Brady Bluff a couple hours ago. Did you see that eagle when we started going up to the top there, and the eagle circling way, way high in the sky? Well, that's what the young ones start doing. They leave the nest and they start going higher and higher and higher. And then it's really kind of hard to study them because they're not around anymore. They go. I don't know where they go, but they do. Usually they'll come back to the same nest. And sometimes when they come back a year later, the parents will feed them again. I kind of like them, you know, little kitties, they're kind of growing up yet. But after a couple of years, then that stops, and pretty soon they're on their own. And then they start building a nest of their own, not just anywhere, but they find a tree, great, big, tall, strong tree. And they'll sit and they'll watch, just like their parents did for them, see if there's any danger around. And when they're convinced that it's a safe place, then they'll lay their eggs, and they'll raise their own family just like they were raised. And someday their little ones will take off and fly too, in the same way that you and I will. And the Lord tells us that when He comes again on the last day, those of us who are alive and remain till His coming, which could be any time, are all of a sudden going to start rising into the air. And we go up into the clouds, and we're going to meet the Lord when He comes, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I have borne you on eagle's wings. I'd like to close with a little prayer.